This is part one of a three-part podcast.
It's been a long time since I recorded a podcast for many, many reasons. And because of that, we do have some housekeeping to take care of. And you have the list. What is on the list?
I do. So the first thing on the list is me blatantly promoting my own life. So can I start with that?
Oh, that's right, because you ditched me.
Yeah, I did. Indeed.
You dropped me. You're no longer part of the empire.
At, like, the literally worst time I ever could have, also.
That's right. Clearly premeditated.
Yeah. So, if any of the listeners didn't know, I kind of stepped down about a month and a half ago from working with Paul, and I was all secret McGee about it for a while, but then just about a week or two ago, I let the secret out, and that is that Hannah Ekberg and I are starting a North American version of Permaculture Magazine. So if anyone is unfamiliar, Permaculture Magazine has been in publication for 24 years out of the UK. Maddie and Tim Harland, Paul has done many podcasts with Maddie, and they're kind of all over in the permaculture community. But, yeah, so we're officially bringing it across the pond. It'll be almost exactly the same stylistically and thematically, the magazine, but just obviously more North American projects and climates and issues. So, yeah, we launched our website last week, and kind of cool because we have a few online articles that have actually kind of been inspired by some Permi threads. So that's kind of fun. And we just published a little sneak peek excerpt of Ernie and Erica's book that's coming out in June, I believe, the Rocket Mass Heater Builder's Guide. That's something I figured your peeps would be into as well. Oh, and Paul, you'll like this. I don't know if you saw this yet, but I put on your pie thing that pie people get 10% off of advertising.
Oh, see that? And then I did see that. And, of course, I think that people on the podcast probably have no idea what the pie stuff is.
Do you think so? Have we not talked about pie on the podcast yet?
It's been a long time since we recorded a podcast.
Okay.
And I think that the pie stuff came out shortly before I became afflicted. And so I've been down. I haven't been able to do the podcast.
Okay, yeah. Well, all right.
I think we'll leave the pie stuff out for now. If people are really curious, they can go look it up at permies.com. And right. And you've been using the pie stuff, I'm guessing, and how's it been going for you?
Yeah, pie's great. Even in the last like month, there's been a few more things that have been added to it and added features wise. I think it's great, and I love getting pie because I got a pie recently that had a message attached to it that said something along the lines of, "Cassie, you must be a genius. I know you are," or something similar to that. So that boosted my ego for at least a few days.
Hey, and a lifted ego feels pretty nice, doesn't it?
Yep. So pie's great.
There's all these people like the Dalai Lama discouraging ego. That's kind of like, well, come on, man. It's a fun ride.
Yeah. It's all right. And moderation. Moderation, schmoderation. That's what you say, huh?
So, all right. So you have left me, and
I have left you.
And you've moved on. Now, for the new Permaculture Magazine, North America. So there will continue to be the old and moldy Permaculture Magazine that smells like England and fish and chips. And then there'll be the new one that smells like pizza. And now, is it going to be printed? It'll be a, it's like you go down to the Whole Foods, and it's like, look, there's Permaculture Magazine North America.
Yeah, exactly. So they are, the UK version was already being distributed in the States through retail stuff, and so essentially we're kind of just like taking over that. And so, yeah, our new magazine will be in stores. And, I mean, anyone can still subscribe to theirs and get it sent to them here if they want it. But we also, whenever you subscribe to our new magazine, you get all of the digital back issues of their magazine as well. So that's pretty cool.
Okay, cool, cool.
PermacultureMag.org.
And kind of a little weird about Permaculture Magazine is that, of course, there were a lot of ads in the magazine that were very UK specific, and then and then there was like a list of like, hey, here's a bunch of PDCs coming up, and they were all really UK specific. So all that's gonna, I mean, so basically you're gonna get 70%, maybe even more, of the original Permaculture Magazine. Add some North American frosting to it, and boom, baby, you got Permaculture North America. Permaculture Magazine North America.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's going to be stylistically similar, but all the content will be all of ours. I mean, all of the PDCs will be from our, from North America, Canada, Mexico, U.S. All the ads will be ours. There might be some that overlap that are in both us and them. And there might be a few articles that will be in their magazine and also ours. If we want one of theirs really bad or if they want one of ours really bad. But it will, they will mostly be pretty independent of each other content-wise.
Really? So, like, I mean, you wouldn't want to get, you wouldn't want to subscribe to both, would you?
Yeah, you kind of would. I mean, yeah, there might be a few, there might be like one or two articles that are the same, but that's one or two out of maybe like 15 in each issue, I think is the number. But yeah, so they're going to be quite different. Just, they'll just look the same and have the same section, like reader solutions and product reviews and, you know, book reviews and, you know, we'll have the courses and the classifieds, all that section similarities, but content will be different.
Okay. All right. Now, the function of this particular podcast is about hookah culture.
Yes.
And we've got a list of questions because, of course, in this series of podcasts, we've talked about hookah culture many times, but we've got a bunch of people writing in with questions that are theoretically questions that have never been addressed in all of my podcasts in the past. That's coming up, but we still have a few more items of business to go over. What's the next item?
Ants. Three spots left to be an ant.
We have three spots left to be for the ant village. We've got 9 ants at this time. Only one structure is complete to the point that somebody is actually living in it, and that would be Jim's. There is a lot of cool stuff coming together at Ant Village. Jim has been working a lot on drilling a well. And so we've got a lot of progress in that space, but the well is not complete yet. The reason why, well, there's three spots left. The ants very much wish to encourage the three spots to be filled because there has to be 6 people who make it to the finish line of the Ant Village Challenge. And then one person, one of those 6 or more people will be selected to receive a Deep Roots package. So they'll be able to have their plot, their 1-acre plot for their life, rent free. So that's what being offered at this time. So there's three spots left. And I think that the general recipe is that you're going to come. I think that probably the first step might be to build a bit of a fence so you can start growing some stuff. Then you're going to build something that's going to be a shelter to live in, and it'll be judged as part of the Ant Village Challenge. And then you're going to grow lots of food. And you might build some hookah culture bits. Each person who pays to get in, and currently it's $1,200, and that pays for your spot from now through the end of 2017. So that's 1.8 years, I'm guessing, for $1,200. So it's about $50 a month or so is what it works out to. But that includes 16 hours of excavator use. So the guys have named it the excavator Rex. It's a 14-ton excavator, so it's a pretty big excavator. And it, you know, a bunch of other things, yada, yada, yada. All the details are at permita.com. If you look in the Wheaton Laboratories forum, there's one thread that's called Ant Village, and there's another thread called Ant Village Challenge. And so Ant Village is just about living in Ant Village and being an ant. The Ant Village Challenge is about all the details about the challenge and how it's going to be judged.
Boom. We'll put links in the summary. Next is PDC followed by 2-week appropriate technology course.
So about a year ago, there was a PDC here. It was taught by Howard Story. Several other assistant instructors stopped by. I thought it turned out to be a really good PDC, although for some bizarre reason we had this flukish, bizarre heat wave, and it was record-setting. I mean, it went over 100 here, which is very rare to get over 100 here. I mean, we're in the Rocky Mountains. It usually stays fairly cool. It was bizarre. June is normally our wettest month. I don't think it rained a drop, and it was just a heat wave. It was miserable. But I think the PDC turned out very lovely. And now this year they're going to do a PDC again. Howard's going to do it. So I think the price is somewhere around like $895. We haven't officially announced it yet. By the time this podcast comes out, I think we'll be doing it. And I think that there will be an early bird discount. We're just wrapping up some of the details now. So this is an event not put on by me, but it's put on by Howard Story and Tim Barker. And Tim Barker was one of the innovators for the last two innovators events for Rocket Mass Heaters. And he's the guy that was just magical at bringing our big equipment to life. And when the electric vehicle exploded, Tim was the one first on site to kind of point out what needs to be done. So Tim's like this super knowledgeable guy. He'll be teaching the 2-week appropriate technology course immediately following the PDC. And I believe he'll be there for the entire PDC. And Tim Barker used to be the land manager for like several years for Jeff Locke. I just exchanged a bunch of emails this morning with Jeff. He's got something new in the hopper too, but it isn't quite ready yet. But coming soon, Jeff Long's new thing. PDC and appropriate technology course coming soon. There's a thread right now available. I'm sure that the moment that money is starting to be taken, there'll be a thread available then. So it's happening here, but I'm not really pushing it. I'm not really a player in it. But I'll probably be invited to come and be a speaker for a fair bit of it. I was last time, but I couldn't do very much last time. And it'll be a PRI-certified course.
Nice.
So very, very formal PDC. And I think that this is like for the certified PDCs, for the PRI certified PDCs, I think this might be the lowest price that is available. I haven't heard for a PRI certified PDC being offered for this low of a price. You know, since the one we did last year, which was a much lower
price.
Like, hey, now everything's cooler. You know. All right, what's next on the list?
Okay, so next you said there's a high probability that the peasant courses will continue, and I'm not sure if you actually meant peasant or if you were talking about the P courses.
So the P courses have been renamed to peasant courses.
They have been, right.
Yeah, and Evan has been sending me emails and stuff, and he's trying to get things, you know, in action. But the idea is that to offer a very low-price course here, it'll be like a 5-day thing or possibly a 3-day thing, and there'll be a list of different skills that will be built during this event. And so, for example, a lot of green woodworking. But and I think the reason why it calls it a peasant is that while Evan and the other AF have skills with green woodworking, and they'll be the ones teaching these courses, they don't feel that they are world leaders in these topics or mega experts or anything like that. So it's like, while I'm sure that, like, Evan himself has probably whittled up a dozen greenwood mallets, so he's perfectly capable of teaching it, it's not like he's done, 200.
Right.
So then that's kind of the idea, that these are peasant workshops. I really like the theme he's coming up with, and I like the list of things that people will learn when they're here. And I also like the idea that the price is so very, very low. He hasn't officially come out with the new stuff yet, but it sounds like it's going to be something on the order of $140 for a 5-day course. And and then if you've been here before, if you've been out to the labs before, then he'll take $50 off of that. So it's $90 for a 5-day course. I think that's got to be freaky cheap, doesn't it? I mean, that's got to be like
yeah.
one of the cheapest.
Yeah, so totally.
All right, so that's coming up. All right, what's next?
Okay. Your affliction.
My affliction. So about 2 months ago, I'm told I was working far too hard, and that somehow led to a disc in my neck exploding, popping, and it squirted goo onto my spinal cord, and I've been on my back ever since. I can get up and walk around, but I can only walk for like a couple of minutes, and then I just get too much pain, and I have to lay back down. I used to be that I wasn't sleeping. I went 5 weeks without a decent night's sleep, and maybe even 6 weeks without a decent night's sleep. But now I'm getting a good night's sleep every night, and I'm thinking I'm getting better. But you know, there's still some questions for the doctor, but basically I cannot sit or stand, so I cannot sit at my computer to do the things I normally do, and I cannot get up and plant things I want to plant. I cannot build things I want to build. I have to stay on my back.
Right, so you're on your back right now at this very moment.
I am on my back right now at this very moment. And thanks to the help of a collection of people, I've been optimizing my scenario and able to get more and more done, despite being on my back all the time. And plus, on top of that, if it sounds like I've got an addled brain, it's because I'm on a kind of medication which is supposed to cause addled brain but reduce spinal pain things, nerve pain-related stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so because it's a different kind of pain. It's like, there's a pain that comes with, like, getting into a fight with a grizzly bear. That's a flavor
right.
of pain. And then there's, degrees of that. Like, maybe not so much a grizzly bear, but a house cat. You know, and
yeah,
and so like there's a kind of, and there's like you could take ibuprofen or something for that, and mm-hmm. But the pain I'm having is like bizarre, and I've never really it felt like this. Although it's kind of like it's as if you hit your funny bone, but it's like, you know, not just limited to that area. And yeah, it's constant. Well, stop. Although it's gotten so much better that if I stay on my back, most of the time I don't have any pain.
That's awesome.
I can sleep. Whereas a few weeks ago, like 2 weeks ago, that was not the case.
Yeah.
I had to suffer all day long, every day. So
Well,
now I'm getting, there's all kinds of, there's a huge thread about it out of Permi where people are giving mm-hmm. all sorts of advice. And I just feel like I don't have the cognitive ability to read that stuff. And so I haven't been digesting all of it. I've read some of it. And I'm leaving decisions to Jocelyn, who has far more brain capacity than I do at this time. So I think what I just said is I'm about to record a podcast trying to be knowledgeable about a topic, but I've just told you that I'm stupid right now.
Yeah.
So,
your adultness sounds unafflicted. It sounds like you have a normal amount of adultness right now to me. So I think we'll be all right, at least from the beginning.
So I think one of the symptoms of being stupid is that you think you're really smart. So I'm not sure if this is just common arrogance that I have, or if I'm stupid now and I think I'm smart. So we'll see.
We'll wait till we get to the actual questions.
So for those people that are very curious about this stuff, there's that whole thread.
Right. Yeah.
And as a side effect of that, which is another item on our list, I know, is that somebody sent me a lovely card.
Right.
And in the card, there were two things. One was a very lovely letter, and I feel really bad because I normally I get lots of really lovely letters from lovely people, and I never reply. And I get gifts. I get cool gifts from people, and I don't say thanks. I'm a horrible person. I'm like evil and shit. So it's like, on the other hand, this one was just too hilarious. Because in that big, long thread about my affliction, then I mentioned that at some point I was watching a lot of Netflix videos to distract me from the pain.
Mm-hmm.
And Netflix said, here, watch this show. You'll like it. It turned out they were really wrong. But in this... in this hour-long movie-ish sort of thing, there was this guy, and he kept having dreams, and the people in the dreams kept eating ice cream sandwiches. Not sandwiches, sandwiches. Okay? That's an important distinction. And I think the word sandwiches has, like, 12% more humor in it than sandwiches, and I have a lot of humor needs. So I mentioned that, and so I kind of mentioned now I want to eat ice cream sandwiches because I'm on my back, and most food that I eat is, like, ends up all over my face and beard. It's like laying on my back. It's pretty ridiculous. But that would be a thing that you could totally eat, and it's not like a total mess. Mm-hmm. And it would be delicious and awesome and amazing, and I really shouldn't eat it, but I can tell you now, that I have now eaten some ice cream sandwiches, and I believe that they got powerful healing powers somehow. And a physician, there are three physicians on that thread, and I believe one of the physicians said, and I could be wrong, if I'm wrong, please don't correct me, that they broke down the ingredients of the ice cream sandwich and described how it is actually a health food for me and my condition. So in this card, with this lovely, lovely card that was sent, was a lovely, lovely note. And it's like, so I read the lovely note, and then there's a $100 bill got a check, $100 bill. And the note said something about, this is for ice cream sandwiches. So we now have an ice cream sandwich budget.
Johnson head to Costco and just drop $100 on ice cream sandwiches.
Jocelyn will never buy that many ice cream sandwiches, I'm sure. But she's got the $100 bill right now. She's on her way to Missoula right now.
Yes.
So by the time we're wrapping up this podcast, I might be eating ice cream sandwiches. So I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. So it's not pie, because I believe I have had a little bit of pie and then I'm picking pie out of my beard an hour later.
Yeah, it does not sound ideal for on the back eating.
Which during my affliction, it's great pain to sit up or stand up, like when you shave or trim your beard. So I must confess, I'm developing a very magnificent beard.
I have no doubt.
Why haven't I grown a beard like this before? This is awesome. All right.
Okay.
What's next on our list?
Beard aesthetics aside, Ernie and Erica's Kickstarter is next.
Just started. And I've been exchanging gobs of emails with Ernie and Erica. They have a brand new book that is 100% already written. I have read it. I have a copy of it here that's plastered with some kind of phrase on every page that says, you know, do not distribute, for your eyes only, special, you know, early copy, and stuff like that. And wow, it's like the very first couple of pages goes into just, it's so clear and so polished. They have so carefully worded everything. And it's got oodles and oodles of pictures of lots of different rocket mass eaters, and what a magnificent thing! Oh, and their Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
They first, of course, I wish to take total credit for this book, although I did none of the work.
As for you,
so here's how I'm going to try to pull that off. It's been years that I've been pressuring Erica to write this book.
Mm-hmm.
And I really felt like this book needed to exist, because there really isn't anything out there that covers building, and it needs to be comprehensive. At the same time, Ernie's got a bunch of experiments that he did when he was at Cobb Cottage Company, and he wants all of these results that he has so carefully documented to be in the book also. So that is also in the book. But the book makes it very, very clear how to build one, and it cites the many different styles and the many different shapes and different choices you might make while building it, what kind of materials you might choose to use based on what's available in your area, and things like that. It goes into the legal stuff. It goes, you know, like, because in Portland they're totally legal, and insurance stuff. It goes into so many different things, and most importantly, it does a much clearer job of naming everything. It's a magnificent, magnificent book. So their Kickstarter is out now, and hopefully in the notes you'll make a link to their Kickstarter, because we've got a big thread at Permies about their Kickstarter. And I think it might be funded by now, and so they're already talking about what are the stretch goals. And so I know I've exchanged some emails with Erica about that, and I'm so, so excited that their book is out. Now, the book is going to be published by New Society, which is a publisher up in Canada that published maybe half of the permaculture books that, you know, we know of. And so they're a huge publisher of permaculture stuff.
And you can actually pre-order the book through them. I mean, I don't really know why you would do that rather than support the Kickstarter, but I don't know if you really wanted to do that for some reason. You can pre-order the book through New Society. But
I don't think it's ever been mentioned on this podcast how Ernie's leg is all fucked up. And I think it's an important point because Ernie and Erica have donated mountains of their time to all kinds of free workshops, all kinds of free this and free that. So they've done all these free things, and they've even helped thousands and thousands of people for free, and a lot of them one-on-one individually because they're kind of stupid that way. And how Ernie's leg got all fucked up is he was, I think it was like a Portland building convergence or something like that. I can't remember the exact event, but he's there for free. He's helping people learn how to build something with Cobb, and there's this huge crowd of people there, and he's teaching them all, and car out of nowhere. And so he pushed a woman out of the way, and then he tried to jump out of the way himself, and he almost made it. And so he saved the woman's life, and he could not save his leg. And so and so it's kind of like, I love the idea of this Kickstarter. I love the idea of people supporting it. These are people that have given so much to so many people for nothing. They've been on this podcast, I think, like 20 times, answering oodles of questions, and they've come out here I don't know how many times. I mean, they're so extremely generous that I'm glad that there's now a thing that benefits them directly, and everybody gets an amazing and awesome book out of it, and Erica is loading up on the candy to be handed out to everybody. And so this is an excellent opportunity to support them and get stuff for it. I mean, it's like, please go out, please support their Kickstarter. You know, it's awesome. So, what's next on the list?
Okay, so I think we're finally, I don't know, did you want to talk about the DVDs, your DVDs at all, or?
So, my DVDs. So the Rocket Mass Heater, the new 4-DVD set, I had a Kickstarter a year ago. It's been a year since my Kickstarter finished, funded. And I had an editor lined up, and I was going to do it the same way I did it with Bart. You know, the Kickstarter is over. Like, Bart started doing the editing during the Kickstarter. Like, the Kickstarter's clearly funded. So he started to edit, like, whoa, it's funded. I'm getting to work. And, you know, then we got the DVDs done, got them out really fast. Everything was amazing. We did that on two different Kickstarters. And so I just thought, okay, we got a new guy lined up. He seems very confident. We will just do this, you know, process again. And the day after the money arrived, he said, I quit. And, oh, damn. And so I didn't have an editor all of a sudden. So as luck would have it, I met a guy. And and then I had another editor lined up. It was just taking me a lot of time. He hadn't done DVD editing before, and it was taking me a lot of time to guide him, and I finally came to the conclusion of, like, I need to find somebody that can do a higher quality edit, and because this was going to take too much time. So I did. I found a guy, and he's like, okay, I can do this, but I can't start until August. And so he started in August, and he felt he could get it done in October, which is the deadline, but he hasn't got it done by October. Now, we are trying to pull together video from something like 8 different events, as opposed to what was done before, which is to pull together video from 1 event. And and so this has added a lot to it. We have a rough draft of all of the DVDs done. And as of a few days ago, a couple of people here at Wheaton Lab have put together, Josh and Sarah, have put together this amazing contraption that kind of hovers over my head, and I can, like, see it, and they sit in their computer. They run the videos and take notes. And so now the process is not held up by my affliction any further. So I can do this, but I can only do it, like, a couple of hours a day. So we're moving forward again, but it's been a year, a brutal year, and some people are seriously fucking pissed. And I've had other people say, how can you be pissed? And I kind of feel like, oh, no, they can be pissed. they have a right to be pissed. They should be pissed. It's been a year, and they're, a lot of them are being really mean pissed, which is kind of like, I'm kind of, like, on the fence about that. Like, you don't have to be that mean, man. So, but I'm inflating with the pissed people. We got to get this fucking done. And in fact, you, Kathy, this is your first time being on a podcast with me. You know that we've put the project on hold because this isn't done yet. And we can't talk about those projects. But one of them is, we've got some projects that we have put on hold because this project isn't done.
Definitely.
And there's probably one that you love more than others that you know that's on hold. And but the book you and I have worked on a fair bit, and it will be a magnificent book, but we really can't justify working on it as long as the DVD project isn't done. And there have been a lot of other really cool projects that we've put on hold because this DVD project is not done yet. And if I ever do a Kickstarter again, I don't think I could do it unless the project is like 98% done when we start the Kickstarter. Because this is just killing. This has been poison.
Yeah. Obligation is poison, as you say.
Yes, yes. And so I don't want to be in, and at the same time, you know, you got to have obligation to get shit done.
Yeah.
And so it's like, but you gotta keep your obligations short. Like, I can totally meet this in this tiny time frame. So I'm kind of feeling like, you know what? I did my part. I did the Kickstarter. I got the video. Everything that's my obligation, I did. And then this other guy flaked the fuck out, and now I'm trying to pick up the pieces after that. So we're trying. All right.
All right.
Naturally, there's lot more to all these movies, but we've got to move on. All right, let's do it.
Let's
Google
get started.
Culture.
So we're going to start with get real nice and dirty into the morbid question right off the bat. So, from Zach Muller, he says, ask him if the inside of a hugel is a good place to bury someone's body, and if he thinks that would make up for some of the nitrogen losses with the wood. I know it's kind of morbid, but it's kind of like when we plant a tree when someone's born or plant a tree on top of a buried pet. If I die and there's no handy way to bury my body, I may request being placed in a hugel.
Okay, let's pretend that Zach owns his own private island, and so Zach is the ruler of the private island and makes up his own laws. So now we're not talking about the legality of it within any country like the one you and I live in. But, you know, just whether or not it's going to work. Let's also pretend for a moment that Zach's island happens to have the exact same climate as Montana. All right. I would say, I mean, there's a reason why we go 6 feet under, and you don't want critters digging up the body. Because,
right.
You know, it's like, the, you know, certain critters will be strolling by and thinking that there's something delicious buried here. And so where there's delicious things, there's also toys. So it's like you eat the meat, and then there's all these fun bones to play with. So I would say it needs to be a really large fuviculture bed. Now, of course, the short answer is yes, you can. I think a better question is do you really want to? and it's kind of like there are the whole concepts of having the mushroom suits and people are buried in that. And then there's the idea of, like, if you put enough lime on the body, it kind of slows the decomposition and so it doesn't smell so bad. And so basically that's it. And it is going to be a high nitrogen source. And so, yeah, if there's a lot of wood with the body, then that's going to help mitigate it. And then if there's a lot of wood, you know, if you've got soil and wood touching the body, then the body will decompose, and it will be a relatively fungal decomposition. But, of course, for it to decompose without getting funky, you need to have air. And then it's like, okay, right. If you're going to have air come in for it to decompose correctly, that means that some air has to also be able to get out. And if air is able to get out, then it's kind of like, what's that smell? Kind of a thing.
Exactly.
All right, so then you're kind of like, okay, well, what if we set up like a really slow composting? Well, now it's anaerobic, and it's like, ew. So it's kind of like, well, okay, you've got this blob of high nitrogen stuff, and it's like, okay, we're going to try and break that down, but we want to do it aerobically but not smell. Yes, it can be done. Man, it's I think that it's going to stink. And now I don't know, rather than talking about a person, we could you know, somebody could start off with an experiment of like a large dog. And now, when I was a kid growing up, I lived with my granddad on a ranch, and once in a while one of the cattle would die, and I'm here to tell you that that's a smell that you can smell miles away.
Mm-hmm.
and we did all kinds of things to mitigate that, but you know, we usually would burn the carcass.
Yeah.
But there are large animals that do die, and you could try putting them into hookah culture. Now, another thing is that I would kind of wonder about doing something that might be like a big hookah culture bed, a much larger hookah culture bed. So it'd be wider and possibly taller. I would try to put soil in near the body, and then a fair bit of larger pieces of wood near the body, like not necessarily logs, but large sticks.
Okay.
And then soil, and then I think I might go so far as to do something that I hate to do in a hoga culture, and that is, I hate to see wood chips used, but straw and or wood chips might be good, like in a 6-inch thick layer. And I'm thinking, like, I'm thinking of you, Zach, and actually I'm thinking of your family, whoever's going to be living near your dead body on your Montana-like island. this is to help reduce the smell. And I'm not sure if I can totally eliminate it with just wood chips, sawdust, and straw. Like,
wait, why don't you usually like wood chips?
I usually avoid the use of wood chips or sawdust inside of a hugelkultur bed because they cause nitrogen immobilization.
Oh, that's right.
If you've got that mixed into soil, suddenly this soil isn't going to have any nitrogen in it for, like, years because it's got to finish breaking down all those wood chips first because that's kind of the way nitrogen is. It wants to do that first. So I'm trying to think of, like, maybe having a layer of this just so that there might possibly still be some air exchange, but yet when the stinky stuff goes through all that sawdust and straw and stuff, it tends to reduce the odor a lot. I mean, if you've got a compost bucket in the house, and the compost in the house, like sitting, let's just say, on the floor or on a counter or something like that, starts to stink, and usually when it starts to stink, I throw sawdust on it, and then it stops to stink. But if like let's say you went too long, and it's like, wow, that is right. Then you put the sawdust on it, it's like, yay, sawdust saved the day. So it's amazing how great sawdust is at reducing odors of that variety. And so I'm trying to think of, like, okay, you know, if we're going to try this, you can. Now, Rick Valley, I once recorded him. I never made a video out of it, but it would be a good video. And basically, Rick Valley said you could totally compost. I think he was just talking about this. He had huge compost piles, and so he said you could totally compost a body in here, and it's true, you can. However, I also want to point out that last year, somebody gifted us a dead raccoon, and I was kind of, when I first heard of it, I thought, why? Why would you do that? They found a roadkill, and they brought it, and they're like, it's for your compost pile, you know.
What?
The one that's for heating the water for the showers. And so they dug a hole, put the dead raccoon in there, but you know, the compost pile didn't heat up. Raccoon power was not enough. So the pile got torn apart in order to get rebuilt with more nitrogen in it and more air. And, oh, it smelled bad. And what was found, it was like, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks later that we opened it up, what was found was this pink goo. And, geez, those poor guys. I think it was James and Evan down there. Oh, that was so gross. And and they put the pile back together. Couldn't put it back together soon enough, I think. What a horrible, horrible smell. So, but before that point, it didn't smell. And after that point, it didn't smell. So,
right.
Wood chips are amazing. The point is that yes, you can.
Yeah.
My primary concern would be getting oxygen into your body so it can break down aerobically instead of anaerobically. Which could be that you need to put some enormous holes through the body, which I kind of would feel would be disrespectful to the body.
Right.
And then, of course, allowing, you know, some air exchange with the body. Having soil, a lot of soil and a lot of carbon nearby is going to help to keep the smell down and help with the composting process.
Okay.
All right. All right. Did I beat this one to death?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
As per usual. Okay.
This podcast is continued in part 2.